Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor David Pate.
Whether you are here in this room or listening on podcast, we are glad you're with us as we are going to be talking about who am I? Who am I? Who are we? How do we define that? Who are we? Do we define ourselves by what we do? Do we define ourselves by our talent? Do we define ourselves by our social status? Do we define ourselves maybe even by the things that we've done in our past, and we continue to tell those old stories? Do we define ourselves by the relationships that we're in? Do we define ourselves by our experiences, whether they're good experiences or maybe we've had some bad experiences, and so I'm a bad person because I've done bad things, and so that's how I define myself. Does your family define you? Does what you're going through in this moment today, are you defined by the things that you are going through today? Does your job define you? Well, then what if you're in this room and you're retired and you don't have a job anymore? Are you less than you once were? Does your intelligence define you? What happens when somebody's smarter? Because there always is. Does your financial status define you? What happens if you lose that status that you have? Does popularity, fame, how many followers you have on social media, how many likes you get on a post, or how many views you have? Does your friend group, you know, I just begin to think about all the different things that each and every one of us have that we put on as the definition of us. This is who I am. So how do we do that? How do we properly identify ourselves? Because I think there is a pressure that we all feel to figure out who we are. And I think there are different moments and phases that it's easier to know who we are. And then there's different moments and phases that come and go that are difficult to know who we are. The dictionary definition of identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Identity is how we define who we are, our distinguishing character, how we define ourselves. In fact, when someone says your name, what comes to mind? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? What comes to mind? You know, when I hear the name David Pate, is my definition coach? Is it dad? Is it bodybuilder, model, winner? I'm not saying they're all not lies that come to your mind. You know, but yeah, it's my story. I'm the one talking. You know, when you hear the name Deanne Smith, what comes to mind? When you hear the name Jessa Wilson, what comes to mind? When you hear the name Melissa Glenn, what comes to mind? When you hear the name Hannah Taylor, when you hear the name Ward Holly, what comes to mind? What comes to mind, the definition of who we are? Is it businesswoman, mom, dad, athlete, student, rich, poor, successful, unsuccessful, girlfriend, boyfriend? You know, we have all these things that define who we are in our head. And this matters because everything we do flows from our identity. Everything we do flows from how we feel about ourselves or how we look in the mirror. And if I could be honest today, I wasn't honest with the bodybuilder part, but if I could be honest today, this last year I had a real identity check. Because for the last 18 years, I have defined myself as the varsity men's basketball coach at Christian Ministries Academy. And last year I knew in my heart of hearts that it was no longer my time and I was not the guy. And the guy that was sitting next to me on the bench with a really loud voice named Stuart Berryhill was, I knew the guy. And, you know, he and I talked a lot about it, and Stuart asked me if I was sure, and I don't know if I was sure, but I knew I was sure about one thing, that God had called him to the team. And it's obvious by the fruit that he is producing today. I believe our team is better than it has ever been because Stuart is answering the call of God on his life. But that is difficult because who am I? I was coach. I was the varsity men's coach. Now I have to have a different definition. See, we're all born with this need for something, this need to belong, this need to be someone. We're all born to need to matter. To someone through relationships, this need to achieve, this need to make a difference. And here is the heart, if you could write this down, here's the heart of what I want to talk about today. Do you belong to something temporary, or do you belong to something stronger than that? Is the definition of who we are today something that's very temporary, or is it something stronger than that? Because coaching basketball is very temporary. But there is something stronger than that. Does our identity have an ending? Because it was never meant to. I'm learning that everything we do is temporary. Everything we do has an ending or a phase to it. And that's just life on this finite earth. That is just life on this temporary earth. Everything has a beginning and an ending. Let's just say this. Money has a long beginning and a quick ending. Right? Stuff. We buy it, and then we load it up in our vehicle to put it in the dumpster. And I think in my mind, every time, why did we buy this? Jobs, friends, seasons in life, relationships are temporary. You know, you have the dating phase, and then you have the engaged phase, and then you have the very quick, short married honeymoon phase. And you have the young kid phase, and then the teenager phase, and then the empty nest phase, and then the grandkid. You know, but all of those are very temporary. These are all moments that are very temporary to us. And when you hold tight to temporary things, it makes you suffer very sad, tough losses. And I'm not saying that we should be cold and have no emotion, but our identity, who we are, how we define ourselves, cannot be wrapped up in temporary earthly things. We need to all appreciate where we're at right now. We need to all love where we're at right now. If you have young kids right now, don't be upset with that. Don't be frustrated with that. Love it and enjoy it. If you are dating right now, enjoy it. If you're in high school right now, enjoy it. Wherever you're at, if you're retired right now, enjoy it. Everywhere we're at, enjoy it, but don't base your life on it because it's temporary. I can't be defined by the men's basketball coach, even though I've done it for such a long time, it feels weird to take that title off. But you see it in marriages. You see marriages end after kids move out of the house. Why? Because the marriage relationship was based and defined by the kids, and it was not defined by each other. And so plans weren't made, things weren't talked about, futures weren't thought of. All the conversations revolved around one thing, the kids. And so when the kids were gone, there were no more conversations to be had because there was no future to be talked about in those moments. And so what was temporary was held on to, and now that I am no longer mom of kids in the home, I don't know who I am in this moment. Now that I'm no longer dad with kids in the home, I don't know who we are because they were the center of our entire conversation. You see, high school students leave church when they go to college. Why? Why? You're seeing it a lot. There's only one reason. Their identity was caught up in their parents' church, or their youth pastor's church, or their mentor's church, or their friends. They went to church because of their friends. But their identity was not found in Jesus Christ, because if it was, they would be plugged in and going when they're no longer there. See, what happens when you discover that your identity is temporary? What happens when everything you've been putting your stock in, you found out that it was temporary? What happens if you lose the job that you've put so much into? What happens if someone else gets the position that you wanted? What happens if your family falls apart? Is it your full identity? Even though families are amazing, What happens if the relationship you're in right now ends? Are you now definitionless? What happens now if the friend group that you worked so hard to be a part of turns their back on you? Are you now nobody? What happens if you get injured and sick? There's a young man here. This last year, I watched him went through some medical conditions, and family was taking him to the doctor, and I really saw him. There was really a moment where we thought, is he done playing basketball? And I watched him go through a time of 2 or 3 weeks of depression. And I really hugged on him, and we really talked with him, and we said, listen, if you're done with basketball now, you are going to be done in 2 to 6 years anyway. There was going to be an ending to that. You are more than basketball. You are more than what you're temporarily working on right now. If you are sick today, if you have a disease today, you are more than the health that you have here on this earth. And we pray that God heals you from that. But even if that does not happen, you are more than that. This is all temporary, and God can still use you despite what you are going through. What happens when your kids move off? Who are you, Mom? Especially moms. Who are you? This is the thing I want us to get. Does our temporary status change our eternal value? I'm going to say that a couple more times. Does our temporary status change our eternal value? Sounds like something Josh Barnett would have said in the panel. But he's not up here, so I have to fill his shoes. They're really big shoes. Does our temporary status change our eternal value, or does our value go way beyond the temporary things here on this earth? And I think sometimes this is our thought. I need to be somebody. And that's not true. You need Jesus in order to be somebody. You need Jesus in order to be somebody. And I really want to get this in our hearts today, that what happens when what we belong reveals itself to us. See, for this young man playing basketball, what he was belonging to was revealing itself to him. It was temporary. What happens when you get sick and what you are really giving yourself to your health or your workout and your physique and whatever, what happens when it starts to reveal how temporary that we've been putting so much stock into, when it reveals itself to us, that is when heartbreak happens. Good. See, what happens when what you are identifying yourself gets broken, your family gets broken, and then you are broken because it was your definition. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, and I want to see what Paul tells us that we are to put our identity in. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, really several spots in this one passage here. But the Apostle Paul, and you can see it through all his stories and what he went through, this guy cared about one thing and one thing only, and it was to glorify God in all that he did. I mean, you can see whatever people did, I don't care, whatever, you know, whatever, beat, you know, hit me, think I'm dead, I'm going to get up and keep doing it. I mean, he just continued to do. You could just see this right here. Colossians 3:1, it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life, who you are, is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life, Paul says, when Christ is your life, he's your definition, he is who you are. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Two things that Paul says here. Number one, our identity has to be found in Christ, period. For you died and your life, it's now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life? See, my question for us today, is Jesus a part of our lives or is he the life? Is he what we're living for every day? Because God is not something that we should take a time out for once a week and pay homage to him. And then when we're done, we go right back to who we really are. He's got to be who, he's the thing. He's the thing. We're not the thing. What we're doing is not the thing. He's the thing. Number one, our identity's got to be found in him. And then number two, Paul says eternity's the focus, not temporary. Eternity's the focus. He said, what set our minds on what? Things above. Set our minds on things above, not earthly things. It's important that we realize what's temporary and what's permanent. It's important that we put the right things in the right categories, because eternal doesn't move, no matter what we're going through. Eternal does not move. It's always there. It always will be there, no matter our physical status, our marital status, our parental status. It will always be there, but temporary is temporary. Doesn't last. And I know we know this. I know this is nothing new. But it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to live it. Why? Because temporary is all we know. We're not floating in heaven. Temporary is all we know. It's where we're at, right? We feel those elements, that tennis elbow, and wasn't even playing tennis, and I got that. We feel these things. This is where we live. We live in the temporary, and we're emotional, physical people with emotional attachments. But are we putting all our hope and our effort and our meaning and our identity into these emotional attachments? Now, in my mind, when I read Colossians 3, 1 through 4, set your minds on things above, then it's easy to think, yes, now I don't have to do anything. I'm going to get me a little prayer, give me a little Bible reading, get me a little reckless love on YouTube, and I'm not a victim, and I'm just going to chill out here on this earth and do nothing because God is my identity. And I actually think the opposite should happen. When our identity is found in him, when I'm in Christ, when we're doing everything, we should be doing everything as unto the Lord to the best of our abilities. I think we should be the biggest winner in our circle. I think we should be doing our best. We should be making an unbelievable impact on our jobs. We should be the greatest employee, the best mom that there is that this earth has ever seen, because our identity is found in Christ. And so when we think on things above, that doesn't mean that we go and hum in the corner and quit our jobs. You know, well, now I'm just spiritual. No, you're lazy. You know, not spiritual. You're lazy. You know, achievement was designed by God, but it was meant to be based on God. See, God put us on this earth to produce, to achieve, to win. I mean, that was Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, produce, do all these things. See, that is a God-given thing, but it's got to be a God foundation thing. He has to be the reason. It can't be the reason. Matthew 28:19, go into all the earth and make disciples. Go, make an impact, do, produce. Paul then goes on in verse 23 and 24 of the same chapter. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Work as it for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So Paul didn't say, set your mind on things above and quit your job. He said, set your mind on things above and then go do everything as unto the Lord. See, our identity and our motive is all for God, not some earthly accolades. And here's my encouragement for you this morning, church. Hold on to everything you have with a loose grip. Hold on to everything you have with a temporary grip. And don't let those things define you. Let God define you. The things on this earth are what we do for him. It's not who we are. The things that we do, they're not who we are. And I heard this the other day, and it really stuck with me, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And it was talking about the temporary things here on this life. And this guy said, life is all about change, and there is no change without loss. There is no change without loss. You know, in the dating phase, it has to change. And boy, we're excited to go into the engaged phase, but there is some loss. Because you're not there is some loss. But in order to move on, there has to be that. Change is hard. Therefore, life can be hard, but change equals loss. Think about the time when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that was literally when he went to pray and his disciples went to sleep. And why was Jesus so focused and why did he not get so tired? Well, because he knew what was happening in the next 24 hours. I'm about to be arrested and all this kind of things and die on the cross. But think about that moment of what Jesus was about to do. He was about to leave the disciples and go sit at the right hand of the Father. And change was about to equal a lot of loss for him. But you remember what Jesus said in Luke 22, 42. He said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me," right? "Yet not my will, but yours be done." See, his identity was in God's will. And think about this moment. How much would it stink if you knew the future? It would. Jesus knew when he was going to die. He knew when he picked his friends which ones would stab him in the back. That's fun. You know, "Oh, I wish I knew the future." No, we don't. We think the positive. I think the pain. Jesus knew that when the nail would hit, when the whip would hit, when he chose Judas, he knew the moment that he would stab him in the back. And then he would commit suicide. So he gave all this 3-year ministry to a guy that he knew would commit suicide. See, Jesus, that would be tough. But Jesus did things based on the will of the Father. His identity wasn't in his position or how people treated him. His identity was doing in the will of God. Our identity has to come from doing the will of God, not from the things that happen to us. Paul was beaten, put in prison. What did he do? He sang songs and the prison doors opened. His identity was not in what was happening to him. Esther could have felt like a victim when she was forced into the bachelor contest and became married the king and did all this kind of stuff. And back then, it wasn't even on TV. That was what was so terrible. She did it. No one knew it. Daniel was put in the lion's den. Okay, I don't care. Why? I'm doing God's will. Jesus wasn't a victim of the cross. The cross was the fulfillment of his call here on this earth. And I love the song that we did today. Did y'all love that? I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I live with a vision. I'm not a victim. I'm not an orphan. I'm a child of God. See, being a victim is a result of holding on to our temporary status. You know there's no victims in heaven? Only victors. The victim is a stay. It's a result of being temporary here on this earth. It's a result of something happening. But if we will stay eternal, then we will be victors over anything that we go through. Here's what has to happen. The bigger God is in our lives, the smaller everything else gets. But the smaller God is in our lives, the bigger everything else gets. And so identity is about making him bigger and everything else that's temporary around us smaller. Instead of making him smaller and everything, every dramatic thing we go through, every frustration we go through, you know, every stage we're in, every loss that we have. Turn to James chapter 1. I want to read you a weird verse. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 2. I've always thought this verse was weird, but I really feel with identity in Christ, it makes this verse come to life and make sense. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It's one that we all know. When troubles of any kind come our way, what should we do? Consider it an opportunity of great joy. Of course. Is that not the dumbest verse you've ever read? That makes no sense. And then, you know, oh yeah, faith and endurance, and we're going to be perfect and needing nothing. Yes. Count it all joy? How is that possible? Count it all joy when I face problems and issues and obstacles and frustration? How is that possible? It all depends on where our strength comes from. If our strength comes from the situation, well, there's no joy there. But if our strength comes from doing the will of the Father, we can count it all joy. See, our strength has to come from something eternal, not something temporary. And our identity has to be something on the inside, not something on the outside. It has to come from doing the will of God. You know, maybe if I had this experience on the outside, then I will feel whole. That's the lie that we all believe, right? Maybe if I had this relationship or this amount of money, then I will be happy. And you know, you can even feel this in church. You know, if I was noticed more in church, or if I belonged more on the in crowd, which I don't even know who the in crowd is, it's just always the crowd we're not a part of, you know, but maybe if people talked to me, you know, maybe if they did this, then I would be more excited in church. Maybe if people noticed me, and really that's not it at all. If we notice God, you know, if we notice God, then we would feel more whole, because he already notices us and he just wants us to notice him back. And here's the idea that I want to get us to as we start to bring this together. What happens if what you're chasing after right now you never catch? Think about that. I want this job. What if you never catch it? I want this money. I want to be the best at sports or grades. I want this relationship. I want our family to look like this. I want, you know, what happens? You know, I'm working out. What if it never looks like the image in your mind that you want it to look like? See, when we chase after God, we'll catch him every time. When we chase after him, we catch him every time. Jesus has to be our number one chase. And like I said earlier, that doesn't mean we don't have these temporary lives that we build here on this earth. But when he becomes our number one chase, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us." See, if we're seeking him first, we will catch him. And then you know what else will happen? Then everything else will be the most amazing dad and mom and grandfather and grandmother and great-grandfather. We will be the most amazing person that God has ever set on this earth. What is your identity? Is what defines us today. It's easy to get caught up in this earth, you know what? It's easy to get caught up in the day in and day out. Do we have all of this apprehension in our heart? Do we have all of this, ooh, I hope this works out in our heart, because we've gotten so caught up in this temporary world that we've missed the eternal purpose that God has called us here, because our flesh can skew our need for significance when God created us to already be significant for him. The enemy in the flesh is really good at perverting everything that God made amazing, isn't he? What happens is that this need to be significant for God turns into this need to be significant for man, and we exchange what is permanent for what is temporary. You know, eternity is a long time. It's forever. Temporary is not very long. And we're eternal spirits living in temporary bodies, and it just makes it so difficult for us at times. My challenge today is, are we trying to fill an eternal need with a temporary fix? Because Jesus is the only way to figure this life out. Make him your number one pursuit this week. Make him your number one pursuit this year. And when you do that, it's going to be amazing how your unsatisfied life all of a sudden becomes a satisfied life. It's amazing how all these things begin to fall into place, because the bigger he gets, the smaller everything else gets. Who am I? I'm God's man, and that's all that matters. Who are you? I'm God's woman. You're God's woman, and that's all that matters. Who am I? Did y'all get something out of this? Let's stand here this morning. Let's pray over our week. God, we are so grateful that you didn't put us on this earth to figure it out on our own. God, that all that we have to do is seek you first in your righteousness and the life that you have for us. And God, you make us whole, you make us perfect, and you use us to make a difference here. God, I pray that Christian Ministries Church would make a difference in our circle. God, in Fountain Lake, in Jesseville, in Hot Springs, in Benton, and Little Rock, God, as we begin to stretch out our influence across this area, God, help us to rebuild the wall in our areas. God, help us to be the answer to the questions that the people have around us. God, use us that our lives would be so caught up and defined by you that people can't help but see what they saw in Jesus as he walked this earth. that they can't help but see what they saw in Paul and Peter and Esther and all the different ones that walked on this earth. God, here we are. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.